Monday to Friday, 2:30 to 4. It is The Blitz. Mitch Widmar here with you on AM 1450 KATE. Going to the phone lines, our guest today, as he joins us every Monday, Mike Grimm, voice of the Gophers and sports director at Minnesota News Network, talking Gophers football with us this afternoon. Mike, as always, the time's appreciated. Let's start with the documentary, the series on PJ Fleck that debuted on ESPNU last week. Were you able to catch the first episode, and if so, what were some of your takeaways?
I did, yeah. I watched it, obviously. That was something that any good Gopher fan or anybody that follows the program should watch or DVR. I actually set the thing to record because I was at practice that night watching. That was the opening night of practice last Wednesday. So I was watching practice, and then when I got home, flipped on the DVR and watched the show. My impression was I thought it was a fairly positive look of the Gopher program, of the new head coach. It's funny because someone like P.J. Fleck, who is really over the top in his energy, it was funny just in watching my Twitter timeline, because I follow a bunch of people, and again, Twitter, it's kind of dangerous to say Twitter is a representative of the general public, but in general, on my timeline, I follow a lot of folks from around the Big Ten. And it was funny, if it was a Gopher fan or someone following the Gophers, they were really impressed. And of course, if it was someone from another school, particularly the rival schools, it was like, boy, this guy, well, you know, this guy's full of it. So I thought that was interesting. But I thought it was a really well done first episode, and I thought it put the University of Minnesota in a really positive light.
I was impressed with whoever was in charge of editing those episodes down to a half hour. I thought for sure we'd be getting hour-long episodes. Couldn't it be easy, I would imagine, trying to trim out some of the things that PJ Fleck does and says?
Well, that's going to be something that I think a lot of media folks will have to figure out, is how to, and us too, I mean, quite honestly, with what we do with the coaches show and those kind of things, is to figure out how to go about making sure that the best content is available. And it doesn't always necessarily mean positive content. Certainly, he wants that. But just in terms of providing content, there's plenty of content and copy, as they say, in the business that he will provide. Now, the reporters, particularly newspaper and TV, will have, their job will be to sift through it and figure out what's the good, compelling stuff that people will be interested in, and move on from there. And I don't think it will be lack of content or copy this year that will be any downfall. There'll be plenty of that.
For as crazy as he comes off as at times, he appears to be very, very self-aware, and he has noted that he's not for everyone, and he mentioned that in the first episode. And my one takeaway, big takeaway from the first episode, Mike, was that we've talked about this before too, that there are going to be those who just don't vibe with Fleck's way and all the energy, but I think you can no longer question it, the authenticity of it, because there were numerous people going all the way back to his high school days that said this is 100% real. It's who he's always been. Jim Tressel, Mike Nolan were two other guys who bopped into that episode as well.
No question about it. I mean, and I've said that really from the start. A couple of things. For whatever reason, if somebody is over the top enthusiastic and optimistic, for whatever reason, I think it's maybe the stoic nature of Minnesotans, the Scandinavian stoicism, or whatever you want to call it. It makes some people uncomfortable for whatever reason that is. And there are those, particularly in the sports media, that have been around a while, particularly in a large city like Minneapolis, St. Paul, that believe for whatever reason, if you're an optimist, you're a fraud. And I don't understand it. I never have understood that line of thinking. There is some realism to be involved and some realistic expectations to set in place. I don't think there's any question about that. And I think Fleck has done a fairly good job of making sure expectations aren't off the chart. I mean, he's promising that they're going to work hard. He's promising that that they're going to go through his process, his culture. He says they'll win championships, but he hasn't said they'll win one this year or that they'll win 100 games, this year. I mean, he hasn't promised a whole lot, quite honestly. So I don't know where all that part of it comes from. I just think there's some folks that when you're overly optimistic, apparently that does rub some people the wrong way and somehow makes you that you can't be optimistic because it's not real life. But it is. That's the way he operates. Now, having said all that, I caution, and it is weird. weird because I don't even think that there's a dichotomy here, but it seems like there's maybe, you know, those that like Fleck and those that don't. I think amongst Gopher fans, clearly more people like him than not. But there is that, you know, and I think that's a case a lot of times with any new hire. You know, there's a divide. There's a skeptical group that wonders what's going to happen, and there's an optimistic group that hopes great things happen. And I'd caution both sides. Let's let him coach a few seasons here, you know. People on one side that think that, you know, boy, you're just drinking the Kool-Aid if you think he's going to do well. Well, it's no different than you think than someone on the other side says, well, he's just another Brewster. Well, so you can't give him a chance. I mean, you know, so it's, let's just kick back and see how it goes and enjoy the ride. And if it's a good ride, we'll all have fun.
Last quick note here on the documentary for a guy who seems, the guy, of course, still being P.J. Fleck, he seems to have everything mapped out and planned. Were you surprised at all that in that first episode he said he always thought about like what he would do if he was cut from the NFL but never had a concrete plan of what would be after that stage and that coaching wasn't a given for him and that Mike Nolan really presented the opportunity for him?
Yeah, I was surprised. I'm not surprised he's organized because I've seen how he works. And again, going back to that thought, one follow-up on that, the idea that he's just some guy that's pumping a bunch of slogans onto the wall and that's all he's doing. I mean, I think I've mentioned this, you know, almost every week I've been on when we've talked about it, that's not what he is. The reason I don't think he's a phony, look, he could go, you know, 5-50 in his first 5 years, and it doesn't make him a phony. People will say that. Oh, see, told you, it was all a shtick. Not the case. All these slogans, all these acronyms, all these things have a purpose behind it. You saw the book in that documentary; they're all there. I mean, if the guy was really just a fake and trying to collect a big paycheck, it'd be easy just to slap a couple slogans on the locker room and then cash the check and put together one simple game plan and move on. But he goes above and beyond. I mean, he's doing more work than is necessary, more work than many coaches do by going about this process, his culture, as he calls it, with you saw that book. So that part of it, again, shows me that, no, I'm not surprised, one, he's organized, but two, it also shows me that he's not just some fly-by-night guy that's coming in to collect a paycheck. He wants results. He wants to make people better. He wants to be enthusiastic about it all. But one thing that did surprise me, and I think I caught this right, he wasn't sure he wanted to coach until Mike Nolan mentioned that. So it wasn't like when he was a five-year-old, he's like, well, if I don't make the NFL, I'm going to coach. Sounded to me like he was probably going to go be a teacher. And then Mike Nolan said, hey, you want to try coaching? Hey, okay, maybe I will. And so at that point is when he decided to do that. And that's when he started making these books and notes and certainly drawing up off all the different coaches he's learned from.
Mike Grimm with us this afternoon here on the Blitz, voice of the Minnesota Golden Gophers, sports director at Minnesota News Network. You mentioned you were at practice when the episode premiered last week. You DVR'd it. It is the early stages of fall practices. It does sound, from what I've been hearing and reading, that Demery Croft is standing out. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, he's had a couple of there have been a couple of YouTube or whatever Gopher Digital Sports puts up some highlights where he's had some really good passes. He had one to Eric Carter that's kind of, I wouldn't say it's gone viral, but the diehard Gopher fans have certainly been able to find it, and it's an incredible high arcing spiral that just, we've always said that the ball, you know, it sounds like a pitching vernacular, but the ball comes out of his hand so beautifully. It's a spiral almost every time. It's got a great trajectory. His issue is going to be whether he, you know, and it's every quarterback's issue. You know, it was Mitch Leitner's issue. Can you get the ball on target and on time? Can you make the right decision so you don't turn the football over? And if he can do those things, the natural ability is clearly there with the way he can throw it. I've seen a couple of practices, and my impression is that he probably is trying to, I'm thinking in his mind, he's thinking he's taking a hold of the job. Whether that turns out to be the case, we'll find out, because there's more to it than just whipping the football. I mean, throwing a good spiral is not the only, requirement to be a good Big Ten quarterback. So I think there are other things that he'll have to continue to grow in and put in work and film study and all those things will have to come with with the fact that he has a lot of natural ability with throwing the football. Plus, the one thing that people forget is he's still fairly new to the position. He was, remember, in high school, not a quarterback until his senior season. So he is, he is still learning the position a little bit. And now in year three at Minnesota, maybe gets thrust into a little bit more prominent role. We'll see how he responds to that. My other general impression, Mitch, of practice is, you know, we had heard and seen in spring ball about the tempo with which they practice, and it is a fast tempo. I don't know if it's any faster than others. I mean, Jerry Kill's teams really ran fast practices, but it's different, and it's unique in that the way they structure practice, they want to be fast, and they want to be efficient, so much so that they want practice to be about an hour and 20 minutes. They want you to come in focused, get our work done, be done, and then on to film study and team meetings and positional meetings and all of that stuff. So that part was amazing Wednesday, their first practice of fall camp. Went an hour and 22 minutes. They got in like 92 or 93 plays. It was very organized, yet if you didn't know football and just came to watch, you'd say that's the most chaotic, unorganized-looking thing I've ever seen, but yet it was very organized, and everybody knew where they were supposed to be. It was like organized chaos. It is pretty incredible to watch. I'd encourage fans, if they get a chance, there are a couple more open practices, to just go watch them. Even if you're not a football fan, quite honestly, I think you'd get a kick out of seeing some of the stuff they do in practice.
Does that tempo cater to or suit better one or the other between Demery Croft, Connor Rowe? Like, I don't want to get too nitpicky, but I am curious in picking your brain a little bit more from your vantage point. Like, as this thing drags on with the quarterback competition, what does favor Demery Croft? What does he do better than Connor Rowe?
Well, he's a bit more mobile. I think that from a from a play breakdown standpoint, if the pass rush comes and there's not an open receiver, I think you're looking at Connor Rota taking an 8-yard sack. It could be that Demery Croft takes an 8-yard sack as well, but I think he has more escapability, step up, make an 8-yard sack into a 10-yard scramble for a first down, which is so devastating to a defense's morale. So that part of it is absolutely in Demery Croft's favor. Neither guy has much experience. Rode has been on campus a couple years longer, but really has not gotten in. He has the one start at Maryland that they won. Croft has played in two, maybe three games as a true freshman, but not a lot of extended plays. And quite honestly, in those games, didn't play very well. So, I still think it's open. I don't think it's anyone's. I don't think anyone has grabbed it yet. But in hearing P.J. Fleck talk, I think he'd like to make a decision. I think he'd like to see one of those guys grab a hold of it here, in the next couple of weeks, I would think for sure, as we're, how long from the opening game? A little over 3 weeks now.
Mike Grimm, our guest this afternoon here on the Blitz. You brought up the practice, and you said fast, up-tempo is two of the ways to describe it. And I immediately, outside of the quarterback situation, thought of the big boys up front on the offensive line, especially not only because they are the big boys, but because we know during practices a couple months back they were very thin at the offensive line position. Have they finally started to field a full offensive line, and are they feeling more confident there?
Well, I think what they've got, normally a Big Ten football team would have 16 or 17 offensive linemen on the roster. Many of those would be guys that they're developing. Usually you bring in three or four a year, so the a first year, second year guy would be developing guys, and then you have your core group of guys that have been around that would be starters, and you hope that eight of them are Big Ten ready, nine of them maybe. With a real solid five that can start. I think that this group, the first six, I think there's six that they feel really good about. Then there's a next group of a couple that I think if they got pressed into action, they could probably get by, but they're not quite ready. And then there is, quite honestly, a group of guys that, in two or three years could be bona fide Big Ten linemen that just aren't ready to go yet, either through experience or size or both. They all have to develop. I do think Blaze Andres, the youngster from Marshall, who's first year on campus, when you look at him come out of the locker room, one, he wears number 77. So to me, that number, because it's a big, broad number, always makes you look big. I was surprised how big he looks. I thought I wasn't sure where he would be, and I don't know where he will be in terms of the depth chart. It could be that he redshirts. I think you always like to redshirt linemen if you can to get them a year of development, learn the system, build strength and muscle and speed and all that stuff. But if you just go by the eyeball test as they come out of the locker room or go through drills, he looks really good. That said, I don't know what his immediate future is for this year, 2017. They have five guys that either started most of the games or have some starting experience from last year. I think they feel good about that. Vincent Calhoun has been banged up a little bit here. He's still kind of coming back from some off-season stuff. Remember, they didn't have Harrison either in terms of the spring ball. He was out. So, you know, a couple of guys that that started last year did not get some time in spring. Green started at left tackle three or four games into last year. I think he's probably got that spot locked up. It sounds like Jared Weiler, who wasn't a starter to begin last year but worked his way into the starting lineup because he was so good. And I think by the time he ended up getting injured in the Nebraska game, he was probably their most consistent blocker up front. Sounds like he'll move to center and probably be the starting center on this team. So, you know, you've got some guys up front that have some experience. Their issue is depth. They only have a total of about 12 or 13 guys, and I think they feel really comfortable with six, maybe seven of those guys. So if they run through a series of injuries, it could be a long year up front. If they stay healthy, knock on wood, and I remember Pat Fitzgerald talking about that when they had their 10-win season, that they had no injuries up front. They started the same five all 12 games. If the Gophers somehow draw the lucky straw and do that, and with Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks back there, then this team could be really, really good, knock on wood, if they draw the lucky straw and all those five starters stay healthy all season long.
And you brought up the two names that I was just going to feed into, those offensive linemen who will be expected to pave the way for Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks. I saw a Shannon Brooks, I guess, media session, we can call it, last week. He sounds like he's ready to go. We know he was nicked up a little bit last year sporadically throughout the season. How do you think that unfolds just early on, weeks one and two and three? Will it still be a backfield that is, I don't want to say dominated, but they rely heavily upon Rodney Smith, or could they ride a hot hand within a game, go close to 50-50? How do you think it shakes out early on in the season?
I think it'd be a great question. I think if you remember 2 years ago when they were both freshmen, Rodney Smith was a redshirt freshman and Shannon Brooks was a true freshman. Brooks probably had the better of the two seasons, although Rodney Smith was pretty good too, and he emerged as the starter early in the season. And I think if you look back a year ago at this time, most everybody was talking about Shannon Brooks and not Rodney Smith as the guy that was really going to carry the load. And Shannon Brooks, of course, had the foot injury and didn't play the first couple of weeks, nor did he take part in fall camp. And Rodney Smith basically just grabbed a hold of the job. Brooks was never fully healthy. Even when he came back, he got injured a little bit. And so I think it's a very interesting season coming forth. I think there's a chance they both get 1,000 yards, and I don't say that just flippantly, because I know it's not easy to do, to have two backs do that. Teams have done it. The Gophers have done it. But I think it's a possibility, particularly, like I said, if that front five or six, if they stay healthy and don't go through a bunch of injuries, I think that's a possibility. I don't know the total answer. I think we're all going to evolve and find out where this offense goes, because we really haven't seen it. I mean, you can watch, you know, 7-on-7 drills and watch fall camp, but until the game goes, and as they always say, the bullets start flying, you really don't know what this offense is going to be about. I also think there might be some emphasis on getting both those guys on the field at the same time. They did that on occasion last year, and the coaching staff always talked about it, but they would only do it for a handful of plays for whatever reason, which I always was a bit mystified by, because they lack some receiver depth. And I always thought if you could get those two running backs on the field at the same time and have one of them line up on the outside of the line as a receiver, it helps. And we'll see if this staff decides to do that or not. I don't know if that's the case. And then the other thing I'd mention, Mitch, is remember Colby McCrary – is the third string guy. He had like 176 yards last year against, was it Indiana State, I want to say, in that game when Smith got injured a little bit and Brooks was not, that was early enough in the season, Brooks wasn't even in uniform. He has grown, I mean, he looks like a bodybuilder. It's unbelievable. He's up to 240 pounds. It wouldn't surprise me to see him line up in the backfield as a lead blocker a little bit for some of these guys and put the crunch on guys. And I also think he'll get a few carries as well. It's always good to have fresh legs, and I think that will be one of the unique things that Kirk Ciarrocca, the offensive coordinator, will have to figure out as to, as you pose the question, where do the carries go? Who gets the rest? Who stays fresh? Does it go with a hot hand? And I think all those things are still up for debate. The one thing that's not up for debate is the Gophers feel pretty darn good about what they have at the running back spot right now.
For sure. We'll leave on this. We'll wrap things up. The coaches' poll was released last week. It's fun to observe for now because, well, it's August and we want things to talk about. Did you expect to see four Big Ten teams in the top 10?
Probably not four, but I'm telling you, I mean, I think was it you and I talked a while ago, I think when I was in Chicago, you asked me if there's going to be a team in the playoff, and I said, yes, it doesn't matter. The Big Ten now has put itself into a position. The tide absolutely turned when Urban Meyer and Jim Harbaugh got here. When they arrived on their campuses, the Big Ten elevated instantly, and the results came almost instantly with those guys. And when you got those two teams, then you got Penn State, coming, I don't want to say out of nowhere, it's one of the most storied programs ever, but knowing what they were coming and going through, and that their coach was in the hot seat a year ago at this time to end up where they ended up, now you've got that power. Wisconsin has always been good, and I think the West Division is up for grabs. I can't say I'm shocked. Four in the top ten is probably a little, it's one of those. Is Penn State going to be able to maintain? I don't know the answer, but undoubtedly the Big Ten will get a team in the playoff. It just will somehow, some way, because it has elevated itself now to be, right there. I mean, they're right there with any league in the country.
Gophers season opener against Buffalo just 24 days away at TCF Bank Stadium. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. It's appreciated.
Always enjoy it, Mitch. Yeah, we're getting close to football, and that's an exciting time, that's for sure.
No doubt about it. We will rip through some headlines from the weekend coming up next right here on the Blitz.